It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
You know, you and I, as saved people, sometimes we just get to a point in our lives where we think, well, what's the use? You know, why should I keep on going on? Why shouldn't I just go out and have a good time and all of this? Well, you need to put that out of your mind. If you've got that in your mind, you need to realize that Jesus is coming for us soon. And it could be in the next few seconds or the next second even. I don't know. But Jesus is coming. And you know, I don't know what's going through, what you're going through in your life. Many people have problems today. And I think we all have problems. We're going to have problems as long as we're in this flesh. But Jesus is coming for us. And that's going to be a glorious time. That means that we're going to be with Him. We're going to be with our Heavenly Father. We will inherit at that point. Now, we've already got eternal life because Jesus gave His life for us. He bled and He's died and He's alive today. And we can have eternal life as we've trusted Him as our Lord and Savior. We do have that eternal life. Now, those people who have never trusted Jesus Christ, they do not have eternal life. They have eternal death, always dying but never ceasing to be. They will die and be in the lake of fire forever and ever. And no end. It's not going to, you know, never end. And that's something that I do not want to look forward to, and I don't have to look forward to that. We've been looking at the subject when we get home. And when we get home, as saved people, things are going to be a little bit different. And what we've seen and what we've looked at in a past study here is that, once again, Luke 15, verses 11 through 17 talks about the prodigal son. And how that he went out, he left, he wanted his inheritance right then. And so he left and he started, he lost everything. But we saw some things that concern us as human beings. Now, once again, things get rough. Things are tough in this world. The Christian life is not the easiest life, but it's the greatest life that anybody could ever want and have. And we have nothing other than greatness ahead of us to look forward to. And as I said before, some things will be better. And what is that? Some things will be better. What do I mean by that? Well, when we get home, some things are going to change. Some things will be behind us. There will be no more sin. There will be no more separation. We're not going to be separated any longer from our Heavenly Father or Jesus Christ. We're going to be with them. But you see, there's separation that takes place right now in a Christian's life. When we sin, that separates us from the fellowship that we need so much in our lives right now. The fellowship with the Heavenly Father, with Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit. There's a separation that takes place. No, you don't lose your salvation, but you lose that fellowship, that closeness that all of us need, that all of us desire to have with our Heavenly Father, with Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, with God. And remember, there's three in one. That's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They're all the same. They're God. But you don't ask me to explain all of that. I simply take God at His word when it is taught that there's a three-in-one, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That's another study in itself. But not only are we separated physically from our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ, but we can be separated from having fellowship with our Heavenly Father when sin comes along and we give in to sin. But when we get home, there's not going to be any more sin, and there's not going to be any more separation, no more separation in fellowship, and there will be no more straying. We will not be going out and things come into our lives and temptations come along, and we get into those temptations. There's not going to be any more straying when we get home. But I want you to notice something else. when we get home, there will be no more suffering. As I look around today, there's a lot of suffering. As I go into the hospitals and the assisted living homes, and I see a lot of suffering. But when we get home, there's not going to be any more suffering. Luke chapter 15, verses 14 through 17. It says, and when he had spent all, now this is the prodigal son. Remember, he got all of his inheritance, and he went out and he wasted it. And notice Luke 15, verses 14 through 17. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Now keep in mind that the Jewish people weren't supposed to even touch a hog. They weren't not only not eat the flesh, but they were not even to be around swine, hogs. Verse 16 goes on to say, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. Now I personally do not believe that he ate the husks. It says he would fain have filled. In other words, it's possible that he would have done this. Now, he was hungry, and now he could have, but I think the way it's worded here, that he did not. But something happened here, and it says that he would have done this, but no man gave unto him. He didn't receive anything from people. He was hungry. Verse 17, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? This man was hungry. He was not only spiritually in a bad shape, he was physically in a bad shape. Well, notice that the prodigal, just as Job, found out about the trials and problems of life. Job chapter 14 and verse 1, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. If you've lived any time at all on this earth, then you know that what God says there is true. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. There's nobody born into this world that is not born of a woman. That man is born into this world. That man is full of trouble. Job 5:7 says, yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. We're not only trouble, but we're born into trouble. It's all around us. The prodigal suffered because of his decision to live apart from the Father's will. So many people today, we look around and we see that this life is a time of trouble, even for those of us who are saved. And the Lord himself said so in John chapter 16 and verse 33. He said, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Jesus Christ, he overcame the world, and he's our Savior. And while we journey as pilgrims in this world, we can expect to experience our share of trials and troubles. But bless God, when we get home, it will be better. I've read the end of the book, and I've seen where the Lord will take away the burdens of this life and remove all sufferings from this world. Revelation 21:4 says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Thank God. You see, when we get home, there's going to be a big change. When we get home, there will be no more sin. I'm talking about heaven now. There will be no more separation, from Jesus or from our Heavenly Father. There's not going to be any more straying. We're not going to stray any longer. And there will be no more suffering. How many people are suffering today with sickness and disease? And I'm speaking to Christians today who are suffering. But there's not going to be any more of that when we get home. Well, some things are going to be behind us when we get home. And notice that some things will be before us when we get home. When we get home, we will see the Father. Luke chapter 15, verse 20. And he arose. Now notice, this is the prodigal. He arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. But when the prodigal returned home, he was able to see the father once again. They had been separated, but now they are brought together. Well, according to the Bible, no man hath seen God. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 12 says that. We are prevented from seeing him right now because he is a spirit and we are flesh. And he is holy and we are sinful. You mean the Christian is sinful? A person who is saved is sinful in this flesh, yes. This flesh that we're in, this body that we're in, is sin. That's the reason the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This body is sin, and this body must die, because this body is not going to go to heaven. We're going to receive a new body, a sinless body. We talked about that, how that we're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. This body is going to put on incorruption. We're going to put on incorruption. Notice, he is holy and we are sinful right now. If we were to see him, that's God, it would kill us. Even Moses was prevented from seeing the Lord in all his glory, according to Exodus chapter 33 and verses 18 through 23. When we get home, we will see him, God, as he is. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Notice that. We are right now the sons of God. We don't have to wait when we to go home to be the sons of God. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We're going to be like him. See, you mean we're going to look like Jesus? I didn't say that. We're going to be like him in the sense that we have a new body, that we have a body that's incorruptible, a body that is sinless, a body that is with Jesus Christ. And we're going to look in the face of the one who loved us enough to send his only begotten Son. That's God the Father. He sent his only begotten Son, full of grace and truth, the one who died in our place, the one who commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Have you trusted him as your Lord and Savior? Oh, there's no greater comfort that a person can have than knowing that one day you will be with God himself. You will be with Jesus Christ. But before you can claim that, before you can have that knowledge of knowing that you're going to go to heaven, you must trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ came to seek and to save those who were lost. If you've never trusted him as your Lord and Savior, you're lost right now. You're worse off than that prodigal son, because one day, if you do not trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will go to the devil's hell and then later be cast into the lake of fire. No escape. You'll be there forever. But the greatest thing is this. You don't have to go there. You can go to heaven by trusting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart, you could say. Lord, save me. I'm sorry for my sin. Please save me, Lord, so that I'll see you one day. Come into my heart. I want to go to heaven, and you're the one that can take me there. Thank you, Jesus. I receive you as my Lord and my Savior.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.